You're listening to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. Joining us, as they do most Fridays, are Susan Demas, publisher of Inside Michigan Politics, and Ken Sikkema, senior policy fellow at Public Sector Consultants and former Republican legislative leader. Susan joins us by Skype. Attorney General Bill Schuette joined a lawsuit this week to try to block an overtime pay rule that came out of Washington. It would require paying overtime to salaried workers who earn less than $47,500 a year. That's up from about $24,000. Ken, why is Schuette against these people with higher salaries getting paid overtime?
Well, any of these federal regulations that deal with pay, whether it's minimum wage or whether it's overtime pay, are going to be looked at skeptically by Republicans. He's not the only one. There are attorney generals around the country that are suing to block it. Republican-leaning organizations, business organizations like the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, have filed the lawsuit against it. So it's part of the Republican DNA to be skeptical of these kinds of federal regulations affecting how businesses work.
Susan, the Obama administration calls this lawsuit partisan obstructionist tactics. Attorney General Schuette says the increased overtime pay is a job killer. What's the take in Lansing on this outside of the Republican Party?
Well, naturally, there are a lot of business groups that are concerned about these rules, especially on the impact they may have on smaller businesses. So the people that you would expect to support the lawsuit do. Obviously, Democrats and unions are on the other side of this. But, you know, what we've seen is that it's usually the same collection of attorneys general who band together in lawsuits like against gay marriage, against Obamacare, and now against these overtime rules. And, you know, certainly we're not going to get an answer soon on this issue. And it very well may end up before the Supreme Court.
The Michigan Campaign Finance Network reported that lobbyists spent $21.7 million during the first 7 months of 2016. That means it's on pace to break last year's record level. Ken, whenever I bring up money in politics to people, I kind of get a shrug, and generally that's about it. What do you think of these record-setting numbers?
Well, there's always going to be money in politics. I think the real question is what money is the most influential. And frankly, I think lobbyist influence, although still significant, has been somewhat diminished and replaced by these large amounts of secret, undisclosed dollars going into elections because of Supreme Court rulings. You can spend millions of dollars and not disclose where it's coming from and have a real impact on election outcomes. I think that's the money that's most influential today, not really lobbyist spending per se.
Susan, I've never quite understood this. Money in politics don't get much attention, as I said, but when there are reports that legislators get free meals from lobbyists, people get all riled up. Why do you think the reactions are different?
When you talk about lobbyist spending, it sounds like it's inside baseball and people's eyes kind of glaze over. A lot of people just think the political system is corrupt and awful, and that's just par for the course. When it comes to hearing about lawmakers living it up, eating well at expensive restaurants in downtown Lansing that most people don't go to, I think people have a more visceral reaction because that's something that's, you know, pretty easily understood and seems wrong on its face, no matter what the law says. But even though there might be a reaction from voters, campaign finance issues never do seem to top the list of things that people actually cast votes on.
Finally, there is a proposal in the legislature to let developers use state sales tax and income taxes to put together really big projects such as stadiums and so on. Susan, how's that playing out in Lansing?
Well, as you know, we've had recent incidents where we've restructured taxes in Detroit to make things more user-friendly for developers. It's been part of revitalizing Detroit, and obviously sports are a huge industry for the state. You know, we have four major league teams here. Not a lot of cities do. And Dan Gilbert is somebody who, you know, has a lot of respect and cachet in Lansing. But, you know, there is concern that these kinds of credits go too far. There's been a national push to look at some of these deals, which look kind of like sweetheart deals on the surface, with stadiums that are taxpayer financed. And, you know, do the cities themselves and taxpayers really get that much out of them? But, you know, what we've seen in the past is that legislation like this tends to move rather quickly, and we are heading towards the end of session. So this would be a good time to move quickly on legislation.
Ken, the governor started out his first term wanting to end tax credits and these kinds of loopholes. Is this different?
No, it's not different. The issue here is, how do you get these big pieces of old land in urban areas back into productive use? And the argument here is that these kinds of projects need specialized project-specific tax breaks if you're going to get these pieces into development. But it does kind of run counter to the sort of theme largely advanced by Republicans that lower taxes applied across the board advance economic development more than specific tax breaks targeted at specific projects. But I think the reality is the only way you're going to get these big pieces of land in urban areas back into use, you're going to have some kind of project-specific tax breaks.
Ken Sickema, Senior Policy Fellow at Public Sector Consultants. Susan Demas is publisher of Inside Michigan Politics. Have a nice weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you.